Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right, our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
So Deep Divers, we have something really special planned for today. We actually recorded our very, very first episode of Deep Dive right before the pandemic, and we just gave it a re-listen, and boy, is it special. And so you will hear some references that probably are a tad confusing, but please know this was recorded just before we all went into lockdown, and it's an episode with one of our favorite people in the world, Heidi Rose Robbins, and we're so excited to share it with you.
Deep Divers, welcome. We are so excited for today. We just finished the interview that you will be listening to with our astrologer, Heidi Rose Robbins.
And I never thought I'd be someone who said my astrologer, who referenced my astrologer.
I know, that sounds crazy. And there's a lot of judgment around it, which we get into with her.
Yes, we do.
What I say about Heidi is that, because I have to qualify it, because when you say, go see my astrologer, people look at you like you're insane.
Yeah, which I'm a little done with, because I also think there's something to people loving being skeptics. And loving, yes, like the sort of take on all of it and how it's all bullshit. And I'm just over it. Now, I'm going to bring up something that happened in our interview, which, Deep Divers, you will hear in just a minute. But I did look at Heidi and I said the word masturbate while making eye contact with her.
You did.
No, we crossed a threshold there.
What's strange is that we have shared with this woman some of the most intimate details of our lives. I have said things to Heidi I've said to no one else. And yet, saying the word over and over again, which you did.
I did. And I also looked at you and I said
it. You did. Straight in my eyes. Was very uncomfortable. But
I know.
This is actually good for us, because I want us to talk about the things that we're embarrassed to talk about.
Well, I was wondering if I was going to get some feedback from you about that, because I knew I was going to say it, and I knew I had to either turn Deep Divers.
We're
at the Jane Club right now, and I had to either turn to Heidi and deliver that line, or I had to turn to Jessica, and I chose Heidi.
I'm happy you talked about it. And you know what? It brings up something for me, June, which is that I've been so excited about this podcast. As you know, we've been texting about it. Now, no one's heard it. No one's responded to it. Again, maybe no one ever will.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. It's,
I'm not doing a bit. Like, it really is okay
with me. Yes. But there is a bit of me that's scared, because we are sharing our real stuff with people. And, you know, you start thinking, oh God, like, should I be? And then I'm like, yes, I should. Like, what are we doing if we aren't being authentic with each other?
You know what I'm saying? But it's scary and it's vulnerable.
It really is. I kept the fact that I had cancer for so long, because I was like embarrassed of saying this thing happened to me. And I'm not, you know, I think when you're a comedian, you get very comfortable with being in control because we present an image. But I think the evolution of it, of ourselves as like full people, is to be like, fuck, we're just all women trying to help each other. So I don't know. I hope nobody's judging us. I don't think they are. But also, who cares?
Oh, I don't care.
No.
I don't care.
Isn't that great?
And it was good. You know, again, I grew up very similar to how you did, in that I grew up in a very Irish Catholic household. The word penis was said one time and one time only. When I asked my mother what prostate cancer was, and she said, like, she took like her cup of tea down and said, cancer of the penis, and then went to take another sip. And that was all. And I screamed.
So I think when I got my period, my mom just like threw a super tampon at me and said, figure it the fuck out.
No one said a goddamn thing.
I thought I surprised you got myself in the outfield. Did you know that?
When you got your period?
I was in the outfield, softball in left field because my anxiety disorder had taken me from shortstop to left field.
I want to hear about that journey because that's so upsetting. I mean, shortstop is like, that's where the action is.
And I was great.
Every play.
I was great.
So what happened?
The panic that I could fuck it up for the rest of the team was too much for me. So I eventually got moved to left field and then to designated
hitter.
Did
you put in that request?
No.
Okay. It was decided for you.
Because I couldn't take it. This was eighth grade.
Wow.
I couldn't take it. But I was in left field and I said, holy moly, I think I've shit myself. Because nobody gave me a heads up.
You're screaming. You're blowing my levels.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
These things weren't really spoken about. It was just a matter of life.
I had two older sisters. We had one book, which was covered, you know, used to cover textbooks.
Yes.
So my father had covered a book that was about like sex for teens.
But how are you supposed to find it if it was covered in brown paper? And why?
I don't know. But Jessica, it was like, it was in the house. And of course I would go to it and I would read every word and stare at all of it. And that's why, I mean, we talk about our sex drives a little bit on this podcast, coming up with Heidi. And she did say I'm a Scorpio, so that's why I have a high sex drive.
Right. Which is great. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. But but I do, I also think, aside from what happened in the stars, I was so obsessed with sex as a child.
Oh, me too.
Like obsessed to a degree where I'm like, someone should have carted me away.
All I wanted was, first of all, nobody wanted to have sex with me for so very long.
Sure.
But once somebody did, I wanted to have it everywhere I could, but like in secret, like that was my way. I didn't do drugs and I didn't drink, but I would transport people up into my room in the middle of the night. I was like a cat burglar. I snuck out of my house almost every night of my senior year. I did insane things like that. And that was my way of, because
we weren't taught, we were just seeking the knowledge and there was so much attraction to the unknown because nobody ever spoke to us.
And yet, Irish Catholic people, my mother had 14 brothers and sisters.
I know. Well, but that's why.
Your mother's no longer with us. My mother's horrified I'm talking about this right now. I know that. Your mother's upset.
By the way, if my parents were alive, I would not be doing this podcast.
I probably shouldn't.
Let's be clear, okay? And I know they are witnessing it from the beyond, and I know they
I
have
hope
feelings.
They're more chilled out back
I
there,
hope
but
so. I believe me, I am worried and still processing.
Well, my mother
about
will
it.
Be horrified for the both of them. So,
but okay. So
maybe
now,
not.
Maybe not. Now maybe having not. Children, I cannot imagine not talking. We're already talking about consent, bodies, pleasure in your body.
Sure, but are you going to be okay when one of them is like trying to dry hump somebody in your living room while you're
if
upstairs?
If it's a consensual experience, then yes, I think I will be.
But it's going to be hard because you're going to see them in diapers, basically. And they're going to be down there trying to get whatever they can.
I don't know. I mean, yes, but I
wonder.
I hope not, but I am
trying to understand, though, why I think it is so hard for parents to approach the subject.
Yeah, what was a totally different time? I mean, I always say about my parents that, you know, some of my friends had parents who grew up listening to the Beatles. My parents were listening to Elvis. That's a generational gap that is so fucking huge.
Yeah.
And so I had nobody talking to me about nothing.
Right.
Right.
Nothing.
And so, of course, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And it was all I could think about, breathe, want, like I was obsessed, you know? Anyway, I hope to do better. I really do. I want to do better than they did.
Honestly, we do exactly the best we can in all circumstances.
That's true.
And so we will continue to do the best. But yeah, you know, if someone had given me a heads up, you might think you shit yourself in the outfield and that's actually your period. That would have been great.
Wow.
Now, I know we've turned a lot of listeners off with that, and I'm okay with that.
I'm honestly, Jessica. Okay. Let him go. Keep on walking. This isn't for you. I promise you. If you're thinking like maybe this isn't for you, I actually want to save your time and say it isn't. If you're questioning that at all, go. Please go. It's okay. So we had our conversation with Heidi. I said the word masturbate while looking at her directly in the eyes at very close proximity.
Yeah.
And also of facing like genitals to genitals.
You have the eyes of a husky. And I've said that before and I'll say it again. But when you do turn and look at someone, it's intense. And then you say the word masturbate, but I actually think it's a good thing.
So, okay. Thank you. I was worried about that. I'm experiencing some discomfort around it, but no, fuck it. Don't. Now, another thing has happened today, which we touch on when Heidi gets here, but you have arrived looking better than you ever have. And I need to know what the hell is going on.
Well, it's a spray tan.
And is that, maybe it's as simple as that? And why aren't you getting them weekly?
Well, here's the thing. This woman, Liz, at the Queen Bee Salon and Spa in Culver City is amazing.
I have a spray tan artist. I will never leave her.
And I forget that she exists and is there for me. But one season of playing house, I wasn't feeling my physically best. I realized later I had cancer, but I had a couple extra LBs on me. And so I started to say to myself, if you can't tone it, tan it. And no joke, I would go every week to get a spray tan. And
it looks
because
so good on you.
Our makeup artist, Alexis Walker, had said to me, you know, listen, I was on this other show and she got into this and it looked great. Well, Lennon said to me, I think you're going overboard. And I said, don't try to tell me how to live my life. I'm not. And she said, well, you're looking a bit orange. And I said, you're just too pale. And I tried to get her to apply some tanner, at least
has
bronzer.
She ever done it?
No, because she has skin like peaches and cream. Anyway,
she
cut
does.
To, we have a photo shoot for the only cover of a magazine we've ever been on backstage. And I see, while we're taking the photo, I see people looking upset behind the monitor. And I say, can I get a look-see? And I go over there, and next to Lennon's pale, pale skin, I looked the color of a pumpkin.
Okay.
And we almost had to shut the shoot down, but we couldn't. And I said, can you fix this in post? And they say, we really cannot. There's only so much we can do. You are so deeply orange. So that is why I took a break. Now,
this is not orange, what I'm looking at. This
not.
Is a golden.
It's, again, if you
sun-kissed.
Have, if you do it weekly,
you can maintain.
But you're right. I should probably be doing this all the time. Now,
it looks so good.
Can I share with you Clarins Auto Bronzant Gel? That is a bronzer that is for the body. I use it on the face as well. That's something you can do at home. I stole that from the woman I used to be an assistant to at CNN. I was asked to leave that organization. Not just once, but twice.
You went back after the first time?
Yes. They found me breaking in after they told me to leave. I used to use my card to get in to use their fax machine. Anyway, this woman, she used to use this. And I swear to God, for anybody who wants a very natural looking tan, that's a great product to use. Also,
okay,
you cut, we were recorded. We recorded this interview with our dear friend, Danielle, which we then realized wasn't recording. There's no shame.
It's just a fact. The sky is blue. The grass is green. That interview didn't record.
But I did share this, which is something, a product that was shared with me by my London makeup artist called Soleil Tan de Chanel.
Mm.
This is, if you can see, June, it's like the consistency of what? Of a foundation?
Yeah.
But you put a big brush in it and you can put it literally on your whole body.
Wow.
And it gives you a glow that is from within.
Wow.
And it smells great.
Let me take a...
Yeah.
A
Soleil Tan. You say you've used it and yet
nice.
You should be using it every day.
I know. I think I didn't put the cap on and it dried
that's
out.
Right.
Because now...
That's probably right.
I think that's what happened.
Yeah. And I stole this from the set, so...
Yeah. I don't take as good care of my makeup as I should.
But I do want to say the reason I have a spray tan is when I was in London... So... Got cancer, had what I would like to call a nervous breakdown. I would be like a year afterwards, where anybody who has gone through something life-threatening like that, what we they don't write about, and I hope to write about it at some point when I'm not busy going to TJ Maxx instead of writing the book, is that you have a real fallout to that. Once you're done surviving, you're left with all of this, oh my God, like, is it going to happen again? I need to shore up my life. And you just start to freak out. So that happened and I was very unhappy. And then I went to London for this job, this Avenue 5 job, and I had the time of my life.
And you sure did. I mean, just to take our listeners through, I mean, Jessica had her own phone number there and I was on WhatsApp, which was a shock to me to find her there. And I downloaded that app to get to her because I needed to understand what was happening. And if you were ever coming back,
right.
I was a bit surprised when you came back.
Well, there was a lot. So what I had realized, and for anybody who's listening, who's been through a lot of trauma, and again, it doesn't just have to be to your own body, like a parent died, you know, what I didn't realize is you actually need new experiences to fill up your brain, which is full of old scary ones. And so the first day I was in London, I took a run and it was in Regent's Park and I saw a little crocus coming up through the snow and I fell to my knees and I started sobbing because what I hadn't realized until I got there is that that's what I needed. I was like this little crocus fighting to get up and I needed new things. And so I had this whole 4 months of new. Anyway, I come home. And what's very interesting, even though you change, a lot of old routines come back, old anxieties. Oh, you want to just go back to the old because that's what's comfortable. And so in the last 3 months, I've sort of felt it creeping up on me. And I woke up one morning and I said, no, I will not go back. I need a little more London in my life. What did I do in London? I took crazy random trips. So I got on the phone and I booked a trip to Hawaii and I'm leaving tomorrow. And
why not? It's a 3-day week.
Why not? What do you do? Save it? Save it till when? You're dead.
I know. Part of me is like, am I going to Hawaii tomorrow?
Like you should.
Wow. Whew. Wow, wow, wow.
So that's why I have this spray tan. That was a lot of talking, June. I'm sorry.
No. I wanted to get to the bottom of it. I mean, since you walked in here about an hour and a half ago, I had this very question of what is this? What's happening with your skin? Why do you look so good? So the spray tan is in preparation for Hawaii so that you can roll in the bathing suit, looking and feeling your best.
Are you saying to me that you don't understand why we should all be getting spray tans? Do you not get a spray tan?
Of course I get a spray tan.
Before a vacation, yes?
I get a spray tan for a vacation. And I also get spray tans just for myself when I want them.
Well, that's where I need to be doing
that's where
it.
You
not
need
just
to be.
For a special thing. Occasion, but sometimes we need to just... If you can't tone it, tan it.
If you can't tone it, tan it.
Honestly. But with restraint.
But with restraint. And with a skilled technician.
Skilled technician.
That's really important. So my woman who tans me, Erica.
Does she come to the house?
She does come to the house. Yeah, you know I get nice. All services course, in home. Course. I'm not going to of establishments course. These
One
days.
One time, you got all dolled up and didn't go out.
Well, I would like to talk about that. Now, I was on, we have to do a whole entire episode on menstrual cycles. And again, I know we just lost the last men that were listening.
there might be one or two gay men listening still.
Maybe.
Old college friends.
Maybe. So it was the day before I ended up getting my period the next day, which explained, of course, everything. But I came home and... to LA. I had been in New York and what I was doing in New York was figuring out how to disinter my mother's ashes from the gravesite that we buried her in.
God.
Because it was giving my father a lot of anxiety that there wasn't a spot for him next to her. So because my mother died suddenly, we made a decision that we ended up wanting to reverse. So I was talk about in the
underworld. We'll talk with Heidi about.
You'll hear about in a second. I had come off a very intense emotional weekend. I come back to LA and I was headed to a Netflix party, like an Emmys or whatever the season was. And I knew I was going to see a lot of people and I got in hair and makeup and I made some strange decisions. As soon as I sat in the makeup chair, I said, put my hair up.
Nope. No, okay? I've never seen
why would
Europe?
I do that? Why would I? No, sometimes I'll wear a low
chignon, but up? What are you, Audrey Hepburn?
Jessica, it was a crazy decision. And so my hair was pulled back into a high slick.
What the hell are you talking about?
I lost my mind.
Yeah, you lost your
mind. I lost my mind. So my hair's going up and I'm staring at myself and I'm like, I don't have any of my armor. I lost my, things.
I know all about that.
Okay. Yes, you do.
Yes.
So the hair is going up and now I'm getting a better view of the old fache. Okay. Because there's nothing around it. And I'm just staring at myself.
Insane. We are not fit for public consumption. No.
And then I say to the makeup artist, first I say hair up, back, high bun, tight high bun. Why? And then I say to the makeup artist, I want to do
what, like kabuki makeup?
I want to do like a real smoky eye. Like a real, real smoky eye.
Your eyes already roll in smoky. Okay.
So then what happens? And God bless, these women are some of my main bitches. Okay. But they were, to their credit, just simply following orders. Okay. But what happened was I stare at myself at the end of it and I'm unrecognizable. I'm a raccoon. I'm like a bald raccoon. Okay. And I'm like, okay. Now Paul is getting on his suit. And again, we have a babysitter there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all ready to go. Like, I've dropped now between hair and makeup and the dress I purchased.
At least 500, 1,000. Yes.
Yeah. I think we're looking at a gram. Okay. I think, and I know a lot of other people just turned off this podcast.
Right.
And I understand that too.
Yeah.
But I dropped a lot of fucking money on this. Yeah. And you know what? To the people out there who say, like, how dare you spend that money? Like, I don't disagree with you. And we are also in a system and in an industry that demands that we abide by some of these standards. Ugh. So I'm sorry.
Over it.
Yeah. So I get now I get the dress on. And it's a cut and it's a neckline that I don't do. Okay. Cause I do a specific thing. And this is something, again, another swing.
But when we're not in our when we're not in our right minds, we make strange choices.
Okay. So then
I think you made me put on a dress for Grace and Frankie where you can see my nipples.
But you look great in it.
But you can see my areolas. I believe in a tape.
Next question. Who cares? So, and then we'll wrap it up. And listeners, we're getting right to the interview.
but you're going to have to sit a spell.
So then I look at myself. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And I don't have the armor to then go present myself to these people.
No, ma'am.
And I see the hair and makeup team starting to realize I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
And then I say to the hair person, can you take it down? And she's like, so here's the thing, June. I've sprayed so much hairspray.
Because you asked for it to look shellacked.
Yes. Correct.
It's stiff as a board.
You want it
to be wet. You want it to look like pavement after a summer storm. And they have delivered.
Yes. She's like, there's no way to relax this look. I was like, is it ever coming down? I mean, she had created something. And the makeup artist, like, tried to take down the makeup. But I'm also bloated because I'm about to get my period. And I turn to Paul. He's got keys in hand.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, I can't go.
I think that's the best decision you have ever made.
And he, God bless him, said, I'm going to get you a Bud Light. This was before I found out that they
before
were
your mom said before my mom to have
said
them
I couldn't
anymore.
Have them. And getting your comfy cozies, which I did, and we watched Great British Bake Off.
God, that sounds like a dream night. Yeah. I'm so glad you took care of yourself that way because we often force ourselves to go.
I know. And that's why when people say, I agree.
Let's not.
I'm a Capricorn. We'll get into this with Heidi, but I feel strongly about showing up when I've made plans. Yes,
you are you're very loyal that way.
I am. But as I get older, and I hope people in my life know this, if you need to cancel plans, I'm no longer like, what? I'm like, okay, that's okay.
Yes. I think we're all coming to that. And if we're not, there's something wrong, because we all have to applaud each other for self-care. And if that means that you can't make it out of your house that night and you need to watch Great British Bake Off in a loose-fitting pant, that is exactly what you should do.
And I sat there and I got a blinding headache because of that hairdo, which I don't think I could take out for weeks.
I hope I live many days and that none of them include seeing you with a bun up there.
No, listen, there is one episode of Grace and Frankie where I was convinced to put my hair up in a high
bun. Much like I was convinced to show my areola on national television.
No, people say I look great with it. So it got a great response. I don't know
don't
what to tell you.
Don't ever do it.
Ever again. Believe me.
Please.
No time soon.
Don't.
You know, and I look at Jennifer Aniston and she's clearly got a look that she feels comfortable and confident in. We're never going to see her in a light color.
You're going to see her in red. You're going to see her in black.
Navy.
And that's
full
it.
Stop.
She loves a denim short.
Yep.
And she loves a bootcut jean. And she loves an espadrille wedge. Don't think I haven't deep dived. Yep. I can also tell you what she puts on her face. Yep. That's for another podcast episode.
And also her hair is going to be a certain length. Don't look for it to be different.
No.
Not
at
this stage.
She got that bob. I don't know if she even was on board for it.
So, and you know what? I used to have feelings about that. Like, oh, I want to see her in an emerald green, and I want this and I want that. And I want to see her hair up. How dare I? Yeah. She's out there trying to survive.
That's right.
If that's what makes her feel good and most like herself, who amongst?
Now, I know we got to get to the interview, but one thing, just to circle back to my resort life, to my London life. I started to purchase things on vacation. This dress is one of them.
Because you know our stylist, Claire, has told me to never purchase on vacations.
Okay. I've decided do. Whoa! I've decided do because when you are feeling like, I guess this is the... Let yourself, maybe you've always been a jeans person, but the part of you that wants to be fun and flirty, like is trying to come out, go for it and do that on vacation. Try it out. Nobody knows you.
That is what resort wear collections are all about.
I love resort wear. I love it.
So are you saying you're going to wear resort wear? Am I looking at resort wear?
Yes. I bought this in my off of a woman selling coconuts on the street. She had a couple frogs.
Wow, Jessica. Well, this is definitely...
This is a departure for me.
And it's great, though. It's very... I mean, I say it when we interview Heidi, but I
appreciate that. But my point is, like, let's not give ourselves... Let's not put ourselves in any boxes, especially as we are getting seasoned, as one of our listeners writes in later. But we also can experiment. And what better way to do that, you know, is on vacation. I want everyone to look at their points and book themselves a trip.
This is a plug for a credit card that does not sponsor this podcast. Marriott Bonvoy used to be Starwood's. Now it's the Marriott Bonvoy. The points are fantastic.
Yeah. And you know what? For people who feel badly about staying in hotels and taking adventures, it's a way because you're racking up the points and then you use them. You go on these trips that are free.
And that's why, to me, it's the best use of points. Casey's trying to tell me, like, get an Amazon card. You'll put it. And
I'm
like,
who cares about it? No, treat yourself.
It's their points. It's like, I got a point for living. And how do I spend it?
Treat yourself. And know, please, that your brain needs new experiences.
Yeah.
And what better way to do it than to travel? All right. Now we're going to take a travel into the soul.
Oh, boy.
Okay. When we come back, we are going to have an interview with Heidi Rose Robbins, Deep Divers. Stick around.
Heidi Rose Robbins is with us. She has been with us in the other episodes we've recorded because she is referenced. She is...
One might even say you could do a drinking game. Every time we mention Heidi Rose Robbins, take a drink.
And for our group of friends, you've been such a touchstone and we've sought you out and you've been a friend and a healer and a guide
a
for
us. A spiritual guide. That's what I call you. I say she yes. is an astrologer. Yes, that's the language she uses, but she is a spiritual guide.
Thank you. I actually love thinking outside the box of astrologer. I am an astrologer. That's the tool that I use. But I'm always asking myself, but what else is going on there? You know, what else is outside of the language of astrology? And trying to capture that, trying to figure out exactly what it is that is going on.
Do you feel like with healers, and again, not being one, only having, you know, taken part in it, do you feel like it's all the same thing? It's just the language or gift you've been given, the specific thing that you've been given is what's different between you and a psychic and a, you know, someone who lays hands on people? Do you feel like that yeah. when you're a healer or no? Is that crazy?
Yeah, and I honestly have never even called myself a healer. I don't even know that if I would think of myself as a healer.
What?
I would think of myself as a person that sits with you and listens deeply and reflects back what I see and encourages and gently and sometimes not so gently mm-hmm. suggests and a guide. I do resonate with a guide.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's an honor. And you know, when we were talking a little bit before we began about when you called.
Before I pressed record.
Before yeah. June pressed record. Yeah. We're talking about, you know, when you got your diagnosis. And I remember that moment very vividly because I remember feeling like this is not about astrology right now. You know, when you, right. you said, what, you know, what's in the stars? And it what was in the stars was irrelevant, right? Right. What was important was to be like as deeply present and as deeply loving and as deeply spacious as I could be with you so that we could right. say like, there is a myriad of, you know, myriad of paths and possibilities, right?
Right. So to back up because we weren't recording, I gave a very emotional monologue, which people would want to use if they were applying to Yale or Juilliard.
Well, you know,
you're not going to have that. But no, but
I'm sorry is a complete sentence. And,
but what happened was I got diagnosed. It was like 5 p.m. on a whatever random Tuesday in September. And I called my parents. It's my husband first, of course. And I called my parents. And then I really don't remember making the decision, but I called Heidi. And you picked up.
Yeah, which is rare.
Which is rare for any mother or person. It's rare. And I told you what happened. And I said, what's going to happen? And I had to be dragged to go see Heidi because I didn't buy it. Kicking and screaming at first. I was like, I'm from New Jersey. We don't do that. I'm Irish Catholic, even though like we talk to dead people all the time and like bury saints under the ground if you want to sell your house. But I was like, no, astrology, that's not for me. But anyway, I remember you saying to me, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I do know what I see in your chart is that you will have an overabundance of support. Mm-hmm. You will have too much support.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely what happened. So many people helping me. So that was totally true. And then I would touch in with you, you know, every month or so to say, what are you seeing? And you always told me, I see you getting better.
Yeah. And you know, that's the key with astrology is even if I saw lots of challenges, there's ways to talk about that, right? Even if I did see lots of challenges, you were going to go through a tricky time, but there's always resources. There's always ways to look at the chart that says, well, if you use this energy that's available to you, if you summon this energy that's available to you, so then it becomes a dynamic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, then it becomes a dance with you and your birth chart and not just like what's being done to you.
May I ask, because Heidi was, by the way, also one of my first calls when we found out you had cancer.
Really?
Yes. I called her separately.
Wow.
Yep. Yes, I remember that as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So wow. There were several people reaching out to her. But I am so curious because you do such full body listening. And I think that's full body. Like I've never seen someone listen from the tip of their head to the bottom of their toes. You know, Jessica and I wanted to just talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember Paul and I took a quiz on an airplane once, and I brought it to him and said, like, I want you to do this with me because it's about listening to your partner. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And I failed every question.
Yeah.
Especially sometimes when I'm acting, I've had to say to myself, like, listen to the director.
Yeah.
Mm. I like actually, listen yeah. to what's being said. And you do listen so hard.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. How did that develop? Were you always that way?
I think I was always that way. I don't know how it developed, except that I was a middle child and my dad was like psychological, you know, he was a psychologist in a certain way and he was a metaphysician. And so
what is that?
Well, I mean, the study of subtle energies, you could say, the study of what is beyond the concrete, what is beyond the obvious, wow. right? So, and he was an astrologer. So, and is, I should say. But I think I just watched him quite a bit and he was always asking deep questions and listening. And
did you know, what age did you know you would be an astrologer? Because I know you didn't do it right away professionally, right?
No, I didn't. But I did really, at about age 19, I had this moment of, oh, I want to study this. I definitely want to study this. And my dad had already been whispering in my ear for my whole childhood. But at 19, I said, I want to read this book and I want you to make me a bunch of tapes so that I can listen to them, you know, and wow. learn the basics. And I started to go to his classes. But at that, I didn't really start professionally as an astrologer until I was about 30.
Wow.
I had a sort of, you know, artistic and spiritual paths dancing together all along.
Right.
And they still are.
They still are. They still are. Yeah. Which is beautiful, which I'm grateful for.
It's amazing.
I mean, obviously, the one thing when people say I'm afraid to go see an astrologer, I don't want to know any bad news. Right. I always say, you know, the wonderful thing about Heidi is like everything she says is positive, even though you did once tell June she was in the underworld. Or was that your sister?
No, well, but we both had time in the underworld. But you said, Heidi, I'll never forget it.
No,
I had 2 years ahead of me in the underworld.
You did.
Through the
you
underworld.
Really did.
And guess what?
You did.
And you were up for it.
I did. I was up for it.
And they're gifts down there.
That's what it is. True. That's the positive thing is even if you're going through the worst things in the world and you don't bullshit about that, like this is not going to end until March. And, you know, here we are in September or something like that. You're like, wow, that's a long time. But there are gifts to be had. And that's what I think you do well is you say, but let's look at this. Let's look at the way that we are all on a journey. Can you explain a little to people who know nothing about astrology what it means to have those three signs, your sun, your moon?
Yeah. So one of the beautiful things that's happening right now is that astrology is really exploding in the best way. Like there was just an article in the New Yorker. Did you guys see this?
No.
It was 6 pages.
We don't read, but
real.
Yes.
Yeah. If it's an audio book or...
But it's crazy.
But now I'm going to say that I've read it. So go ahead.
Yeah. And you know, it was talking about like one of the things is we always say the sun sign is the most important position. It's one position in the chart, knowing you're a Taurus, knowing you're a Leo, knowing you're a Virgo. It's one position in the chart. The three most important positions are really what we have to begin to look at to flesh out the whole chart and experience. And the position that's most important is the rising sign, because that is the sign that was at the horizon the moment you were born. It was what was rising. And this, if everyone started to know their rising sign, it would be revelatory.
What does the rising sign mean? Because to me, it means... It's what you were put on this planet to eventually to aspire to.
Yes.
Is
and
that right?
Yes. It's your soul's calling. And I like to say calling. Most recently that it is where you can be most generous.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
So just to say, you guys, I just did your combined chart, which we'll talk about more, like your combined chart. So, you know, you put the two charts together to say like, well, what's this podcast about? And what's this partnership about?
I'd love to know. And listeners would also love to know. I could tell you.
Well,
that.
I want to say that together you do have Capricorn rising, which is very purposeful. And Capricorn's got a good sense of humor, but it's very purposeful. And then together you have a ton of Scorpio, which is the deep diving. So you like, wow. I mean, there's more to say, but just to say as a sole purpose or as a place where you can be generous, you're actually talking about the spiritual path up the mountain in this context.
That's the little goat.
Yeah.
That's the goat that's going, climbing up that very, very, very dangerous mountain.
That wants to keep growing in consciousness. That's the thing about your whole crew is like, you are succeeding in the physical and material and artistic world, but you are all hungry for a spiritual depth. And that's rare and beautiful as a community of friends.
Thank you, Heidi. We were talking about
the Sun, Moon, and Rising.
Sun, Moon, and Rising. Okay, so take people through it, though.
Sun, Moon, and Rising, very simple. Moon is our past. Moon is our childhood. Moon is our body. Moon is our emotional landscape. It's like what's instinctual in us. It's just our go-to safety place. Sun is our doing present personality. It's our will force. It's like, here I am doing this. Mm. And the rising sign is how we can be generous with this lifetime and affect others.
It's so hard because, you know, I struggle with this because my rising is Scorpio. And
it's perfect sense.
It does, but I've been on a dance with Scorpio. And I've been resistant to it, I think, for many years. And Heidi's really helped me like harness it.
Yes.
But it just feels so intense. Feels so intense. But I do love the idea that, I mean, I think where I know I can be generous with Scorpio is that I'm not afraid of like dark and heavy conversations.
Right.
And conflict.
And inviting people in to look at where we've gone terribly wrong in society or what we need to repair or what we need to take care of, and to invite people into that conversation, you know, whether it's in politics or where it's just like, hey, we can make a change in our own little community if we actually address it.
Right.
Right.
Do you think people look at their signs in a negative way a lot of the time?
Always, always. Right? And people are always saying to me, tell me all the bad stuff. And I'm like, why?
But it's like, but there's so many good things about every one
of
the signs.
So many beautiful things about every sign and so much to grow into and so much untapped potential. And it's easy to get really like, oh, Virgos are so self-critical and critical out in the world. Scorpios are dark, depressed, and vindictive. I mean, like everybody likes to hook onto certain things.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not the beautiful potential of these signs. And that's what we need to start going like, oh my gosh, actually Scorpio is in my book, one of the greatest signs of light because you've struggled your way into it and you earn it and you stand for it. And that's where you become the victorious warrior over your inner wrestling.
Wow. Ooh, see, and there, right there is what Heidi just did that I think is so special is, you give poetic language to, I think, psychological concepts about yourself. And it's a way of looking at yourself in a much kinder way, I think, than sometimes therapy has at.
Not in some ways.
I mean, in all ways. But it's like, I say it's like going to a soul spa to go to Heidi. Because instead of looking at all the negative parts about yourself, even if there are negative things that you'd like to change, you look at them in a, you give words to it that are very poetic.
Yeah, your way with language and your use of language and access to language and poetry, was that something that was always there? Because people can do astrology and look at charts and probably talk about, like Jessica said, these things in a similar way. But the communication piece and the way that your language permeates and touches.
Stays with you. Yeah.
Is very different and is a gift on top of your gift of reading charts.
Thank you for that. And actually, you know, it's so interesting. You say, is it always with me? Was it always with me? Well, this is an interesting astrological question because for all of us, wherever Mercury is in our chart, it has a lot to do with how we think, process information, and then share it. So I have Mercury in Pisces, which is the sign of poetry and the sign of music and musicality. It's not necessarily great for facts or for like communicating really clearly. It's more like, but you are walking through the field of abundance, whatever, you know, so it's very poetic, but it's also in the eighth house of depth and psychology. So I want to get to the heart of things through poetry, through a poetic
use of language. That's exactly what you do.
But everybody else has their, you know, has Mercury in a different place, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, Jessica, you've got Mercury in Virgo, right? And June has Mercury in Capricorn. So Mercury in Virgo is very, wants to be precise, wants to be clear, wants to refine, wants to just, you know, get it right and get the facts, you know, and clean it up and get, you know, get to the heart of matter. And June, you have Mercury in Capricorn, which is incredibly practical, but also like has a lot of authority in the way things are communicated.
Like your journal, how you keep your journal, your four lists.
Oh, my bullet journal?
Your bullet journal.
Oh, the love of order, the love of order.
Yes. Well, she's changed my life with these. She has a journal where she has four running lists. What is it? House?
So instead of doing one giant to-do list, it has scratched a niche for me to do like this is a list for the house. This is a list for the kids. This is a list for creative. This is a list for Jane Club. This the podcast has its own list now. You'll be happy to learn.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, this is a list for deep dive. And then when I can spend some time doing, you know, kind of the admin work of my life and going through all the things I need to do, I just do one off of one list and then move over to the next.
Yeah, I would never approach, even though Virgo is, I don't approach anything like that. I mean, I was drinking my water out of an empty marinara jar at the gym.
But all your Virgo.
Sustainable, and I appreciate it.
But
you weren't using plastic. So thank you for that.
And this is really important. All your Virgo is in the house of relationship. So you go in and you're like, honey, take off those earrings and stand up straight.
Yes.
So you
as I told my waxer, she didn't call you.
You can look at a person and help them refine by being direct.
But
you do not necessarily apply it to other areas of your life. Because, so it's really,
I will say this, that Heidi has correctly predicted down to the month how many pregnancies? At least.
Oh God, I can't even count
them. Danielle's. I don't know if she's predicted yours, but she's been right about a lot of crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And that's where, you know, I want to present that information because it's true, but it's also like, it shouldn't be the barometer for you and your work because I'm sorry to do that to you, Jessica.
You're absolutely right.
Because it is true, but it's also so much, I don't like when people think it's just a forecast.
And yes,
because
I agree.
It's, the work is so much deeper.
And if anything, I often am like, I don't know if, you know, I mean, I probably did say within a month or two because you have certain transits where it's like, okay, during this time, this could happen, you know? But that's one of the first things I always say to people is I'm not psychic. I can't predict this. I can tell you some of the nature of the things that happen during this time. And sometimes when you see a story come in, you're like, oh, well, this is most likely going to happen this way. And sometimes I'm very strong and I'm like, look, if I were a betting person, I would bet that you're pregnant in June or whatever. But it's not because I'm seeing it or it's not because I can say this is going to happen.
What's the difference between a psychic and what you're doing, though?
Well, a psychic will say to you, you know, you're going to, you know, this person will walk into your life or you're going to lose this job or this person will die or I'm, you know, which I can't say to you any of that. I can say to you, astrology is a science and an art of relationships and cycles. How are we using the cycles? Are we engaging with the energy? And there's certain ways to engage with certain transits. So do you want to use it to make a baby? It's a great time. Mm-hmm. Do you want to use it to let your career take a huge leap forward? It's a great time. But it's all going to depend on how you dance with this.
I see.
I'm not going to tell you, you know.
You're right. You don't know how that person's going to walk out of your office and behave.
Right.
Right.
And when you go to a psychic, sometimes it's like you lose a no disrespect, but sometimes we go in with, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? And I'm going to say to you, what's going to happen to you? Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, well, that's a big diff.
What's going to happen to you?
Well, and that's what's so hopeful about the way I've experienced my signs and those three signs is I feel like sometimes I can get mired down in like the disappointments of today, the humiliations of today, like what I did wrong today, who disappointed me. And it is such a relief to pull back and to think about 12-year cycles, major beginnings and endings, and major narratives that have been happening throughout my life and that are in my body. It's just so helpful to take that time to think big picture.
Yeah. And I will say that one of my greatest joys, like getting to work with you guys over a long period of time, is that I get to hold and witness the growth or the possibility. So I get to watch over, like be the witness over time of how the energies are being used in new ways and how there's, you know, new qualities are coming in, you know, and you get to witness that yourselves too, the more that you understand the evolution of a sign.
Right.
But you do that work for yourself too? Are you personally like doing the work of harnessing
the you look power at your own chart?
Absolutely.
And think,
I have to, right? I have to. I'm not.
Every therapist is in therapy.
Yeah, I don't get obsessed about it
with themselves. Okay, really good.
And if
really good point.
You should seek another therapist.
Yeah, I seek other people
to analyzing their own grief.
So you're looking at your own chart, and you're knowing you're kind of working with that.
Yeah, I'm always aware of what the major transit is that's going on, but I don't obsessively look at it in terms of what, you know, what's going on today. Sometimes if it's something really important and I want to make sure that it's well supported, of course, I'll look at it and choose a date accordingly or something. But in the big picture, June, it's like, yeah, I'm always saying, well, what's my next edge? How can I grow into the next better version of myself? What am I really sick of? What have I been doing forever that I just want to grow up about? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that I'm ready, you know, it's like,
I hear that.
Yeah.
The old ways oftentimes don't serve anymore.
Right. Particularly after huge life-changing transits. And when I say that, I mean, particularly after a Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto transit, because those are life-changing energies that come in and say, no, no, no. Now you've woken up. Now you've dissolved into a greater way of loving. Now you've eliminated the toxicity that needs to be eliminated, you know? And now what?
You don't share. I mean, you did share with June she was going to be in the underworld for 2 years.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the most positive of news. But
in a way, it was. First of all, I was already in the underworld. Yes. And I was already in the underworld when that news was reported. Now, did I think I had two more Anyas? No, I didn't. I was like,
dos Anyas.
I was like, we must be wrapping up. Like, we must be wrapping up.
I think I got a call from Casey after that session that was like, could you perhaps offer something softer in the sweetest way? Like I was like, so I was like, this is the dearest friend in the world.
We're calling you that other people are calling you on our behalf is so bizarre.
That happens very often.
It's so strange.
But I do have to say, there's no way I would say you're going into the underworld unless I am sitting in with a person who's saying, I feel as dark and depressed and, you know, or like, I'm not seeing the light right now. And then I'm saying, yeah, you are in the thick of it and you're going to be in the thick of it for a while, but here are the tools that you can use while you're down there. And here's the work that you can do that's going to be deeply relieving once you've done it.
Yeah.
So I would never say you're going into hell. Good luck.
No.
I would just say, I feel you are in a darkness and it's reflected in the chart.
Do you ever see things in people's charts that you don't want to share?
You know, look, if somebody's going into, if somebody's like sick or somebody is really struggling with something and I see some very challenging transits, I'm going to be very careful about how I talk about them. Mm-hmm. Because again, I don't know. If Saturn's on their sun and it's like, okay, this could be incredibly oppressive and you could have oppressive and you could have lots of tests here, but you could also sit up straight, call in your authority like you've never called it in before and take care of yourself in a whole new way. So I don't know how they're going to work with it. So I don't want to paint a picture of doom and gloom.
Last question, and then we're going to move on to a fun little section a little advice section because we have many, many questions from.
We actually have somebody who might be able to help.
Yes. But just last question before we get to that. You're a mother of two wonderful children, and we don't need to go into any specifics about them, but I will just say they are wonderful. And I'm curious how astrology has informed your parenting.
It's been a gentle guide with the kids. It's, I mean, obviously I can see the different qualities emerging and I can encourage the qualities that want to be encouraged. And I love to do that. If you're a parent and you know the rising sign of your child, guess what? You really get to encourage that and you get to say everything. You get to put all your powers behind that. And if you know the moon of your child, well, then you know some of their tendencies that might get in their way at some point, you know, and that you actually might need to curb a little bit. And
that's very helpful.
Yeah, it is very helpful. And, you know, with my kids, I'll just kind of whisper in their ear occasionally and I'll occasionally be like, well, you know, the moon's in Pisces and my daughter is incredibly sensitive, you know, so whenever the moon's in a water sign, she's now figured it out that it's like she's gonna be a little bit more emotional. And she just is in a way that she can now say, oh, it's going to be okay because I get it. You know, I get that this time will pass and that it's not
forever.
The reality, you know? So I'm always aware of what's going on with the kids' charts and I'm always encouraging the rising sign. And occasionally I'll whisper something astrological in their ear. Oh, you know?
What a beautiful dream.
I got to do that because I'm realizing I spent my whole childhood with my Scorpio like squashed. Not by my mother, but I think my dad was so freaked out by my anger as a child. Right. I mean, I tantrumed, you know. So yep. I know it was really scary,
yep.
Those tantrums and that big feeling. Not as much for my mom, but for my dad. Moving to one last question, because something else occurred to me that I've always wanted to talk to you about, which is astrology as a woman's thing. Astrology as feminine work and astrology and feminism. And how do you react to the dismissal of astrology and the feminine quality? And I use that word as it's not related to facts and figures and numbers necessarily, but touching into what can't necessarily be seen as being a feminine quality.
Well, things that can't be calculated and proven, I would say that's like more a traditional masculine way of looking at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, yes, 90% of my clients are women, but I also think that it's because women are deeply hungry right now to find every tool that will serve their growth. I'm always incredibly encouraged when a man walks in the door open and ready and willing. I do think it's subtle, introspective work that requires a belief in something other than the concrete and a belief in the way the subtle energies are at work. And I think the good news is I feel like all of us, all of humanity, are starting to open more to those subtle energies, men and women alike. And are willing to say, look, we are in desperate times. I will use whatever tool is available to me to get some true reflection and guidance and vision for what's possible for myself and for all of us. I mean, astrology is an Aquarian science and art. So it means that this is for all of us. It's not just about our own little individual journeys and whether we're going to succeed or not. It's like, are we as humanity going to succeed and what part can we play?
Well, also, I think that there's such a dismissal of the cycles that, I mean, women are naturally cyclical.
Yes.
And we're not necessarily encouraged to use that in any way, shape, or form, other than to, I guess, produce children, but to really be intentional about where one is on their cycle for not all women have periods and not all women have uteruses, but for women and everyone to think about cycles.
Absolutely. And to pay attention to the rhythms of nature and to pay attention to the dance and not just what we are efforting or doing or forging or making. It's like, what is the dance of, you know, back and forth? How do we interact with these cycles? Yeah, it's beautiful.
I also think something interesting is knowing what your friends and the people that you love are going through. So like my nanny, you know, I run a hotel for millennials. Very good looking and extremely fit millennials. And I send them all to Heidi.
Yes,
because they're in that really delicious time of trying and also terrifying time of figuring out what their life's purpose is. Yeah. And so I always say to them, like, well, what did Heidi say? And then I stay on them.
Yep.
You know, I say, remember what Heidi said about, you know, you being good in health and helping people.
It's happening more and more. You know, people are gathering their girlfriends and saying, here's 10 of us. Let's help each other be accountable.
Be accountable. That's what it is. It's like being accountable for each other. It's another wonderful way to do it. So I mean, I want to do one plug for everybody who needs Heidi, because I think everyone listening needs her. If you are in a place in your life where you're not quite sure where you're going, if you feel a bit lost, Heidi is for you. If you're contemplating getting pregnant, if you're having trouble getting pregnant, if you're wondering whether or not you should get engaged, Heidi is for you. If you are in one of those transitions in life where, let's say your kids have just left the house and you don't know what the next chapter holds, if you want a map for your next year, something that you can work with, Heidi is for you.
And I will add that Heidi is also for you, because I'm more, as I get older, I'm not that interested in the future. I know it is, but I'm not.
I hear you.
I am not as concerned with like what's next.
It's more like how to enjoy now.
Correct. I'm more like, I'd like to get right with this lady right here. And I'm pointing to myself. I'd like to work on my relationship to self and experience myself in a really more loving and gentle and kind way. And so I think even if you're not in a crisis of like planning and future.
There's the Virgo in me.
Yeah. And I guess it's, I don't know, is it the Scorpio in me that's saying this? I don't know. Or maybe it's the Leo moon, but I'm, who's to say? But I do think you're it's also... Right, it's also a beautiful tool to just know yourself a little bit better.
And get words that are beautiful to describe you. And being, it will be like a soul massage. And it's a wonderful thing to do for yourself once a year. Mm. Now, of course, I at one point was calling Heidi every other day.
And we spoke to her about that.
Everybody said that wasn't an appropriate use of your time.
Abusing your...
No, it was perfect.
I was Skyping with you in my trailer at work. And they'd be like, we need it on set. I'm like, I am on the phone with my astrologer. Give me a goddamn minute. Like, but okay. But anyway, it's a great gift to give people as well.
Oh my gosh. But your poetry really picks up where, you know, the mind leaves off and language starts to fail and break down. So the words will penetrate in a totally different way.
Yeah. I also just want to give one story, which is that Lennon and I had Heidi speak at our first production meeting of our last season. And Heidi was like, what? Okay. Because like she's up for anything. But she was like very nervous. She's like, I didn't know what to wear. This is very strange, Jessica. And I was like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. And basically, we wanted to set an intention for this season, which was going to be all about, you know, like the cancer journey we'd just been through. And we didn't want it to be like every other season. And I wanted it to be healthy. And I wanted people to feel seen and whole. And so in front of the Teamsters, I mean, there were Teamsters. These are men that look like they just got off like the back of a Harley. And I was like, everybody, before we start with budgets, our astrologer is going to speak. And she got up and she read the most beautiful poem, which you told me we can't have a website because no one does that, but I would like to post this poem.
We can post it on Instagram. There are other ways, Jessica. Expand your mind.
We're going to post this poem on Instagram. But she read a poem about there never being... a lack of love, and about, you know, basically we needed to take a moment every day at the coffee station and say like, hey, I see you. You know, we're not just here to do work. We're here also to enjoy our day. And these guys looked at me like, what? And then for the rest of the season, they'd be like, I'd say, you know, will you move that trailer? They'd be like, check the stars. I don't know. And then like, okay, fine, guys.
They don't have
at the
voices.
End of it. One of them came to me and he goes, not for nothing, but you know that astrologer lady read that the poem about love? You have a copy of that? And I said, I do, sir.
Kind sir.
So even if you think Heidi's not for you, she's still for you. All right.
That's right.
Let's go.
This is a a question from a woman named Summer who says, okay, ladies, now I wish I had asked everyone for their moon, rising, and sun sign. I didn't. Uh-huh. But here, we have what we have. Summer says, without truly knowing your ages.
Oh, that's nice.
Something hurtful is about to come up. Uh-oh. I can assume you're seasoned women. I don't like this at all. In the 35 to 45 age range.
Okay.
Mostly from piecing together your knowledge of 80s trends and heartthrobs.
Seasoned. I'm not going to use the word seasoned, though, never to describe myself seasoned. Or any other
spicy.
Woman. Spicy, baby. Or honestly, are we talking about like legendary. That Trader Joe's bagel seasoning? Because that's like pretty good.
Like, all right, go ahead. You're both married with kids like myself. So can I talk waning sex drives? Has it happened to you? My doc wants to blood test me to see if I'm in perimenopause, which could be very possible. I'm drenched in sweat when I wake up, have hot flashes at work, have crazy ass mood swings, and very all caps little sex drive. Hubs and I have been married for 20 years. He's super hot still. And even though I've gained 20 pounds in the past couple of years, still gets a boner. Sorry, Heidi. I'm really so sorry, Heidi. This doesn't feel appropriate
for you.
When I'm naked, so that's a win. I just want to return the favor for him. My desire is blah. Any suggestions?
What do you think, Heidi? No, about, because I remember going to you once and talking about getting in touch with the feminine.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard one for a lot of us women, I think, honestly, who are working hard, we're exhausted, you know, taking on a lot of traditionally masculine roles.
Yeah. I think, you know, oftentimes I'll look in the chart to see where the feminine can enter, where a softening can enter. I think so we're in such an age of push through that in order to have any kind of sex drive going the speed that we're going and how much we demand of ourselves, there has to be a necessary threshold that you cross, like when you get home, or even if you are home, there has to be an entry point where it's all about your own care and you need a bath, you need a walk around the block, whatever. There's no way you're going to have the sex drive unless you feel full. You know, unless you feel like it's the waters are lapping over you, do you know? So I don't know. For me, it's always a matter of actually finding things that bring me pleasure before the sex. That's like, oh, you know, this beautiful meal, this beautiful bath, this beautiful walk, this 2 hours by myself.
Mm. Well, I also think that we are, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this, but women are primed to give others pleasure, or our bodies are experiencing someone else's pleasure. And not necessarily our own. However, I did hear a woman talk about, we actually had her at the Jane Club. Now, the book is a terrible title, but it was called The Mommy Mojo Makeover. And what she told our Janes to do. Okay, I'll tell you, because it was fascinating.
I'll read it.
I'll see if it's available on Audible. But what she said to do was, because so many women were struggling with this very issue that Summer brings up. What she said to do was to put aside 2 nights a week. And one is just to masturbate. Okay.
Yeah.
With that. Yeah. Okay. Put it on the calendar. This is uncomfortable.
Capital M.
Just a masturbation night that is just like,
please stop making direct wolf eye contact with me when you say,
I'm sorry. It's true. And that is not about anyone else. And that's just like whatever way you want to do it, but put it on the calendar just for you. Mm. And then have another night and make sure like nobody, like he doesn't come in, she doesn't come in, whoever the partner is, like it, they're not for you.
It's for you.
It is for you. Mm-hmm. And then the other night you put on the calendar, and her whole thing is like, schedule it. Mm-hmm. Summer, schedule it, because
it won't happen otherwise.
That's right. And her whole thing is there's this assumption that sex should just happen, that it should just, if it's right, then it's going to happen naturally. But the truth is, in partnerships, in relationships, we do have to work on these things and set aside time to work on these things. And so she suggests putting a night on the calendar that's also for sex with your partner, where you know it's happening, you can get ready the way you want to get ready for it. And what women have reported since doing this Mommy Mojo Makeover is
that
they then have more of a sex drive. Like it sort of ignites something.
I think that makes perfect sense. I think also, again, I run a hotel for millennials. And I think that when you, it's like you think that you should be the way you were when you were 20, 25. And when you had no kids, I think people beat themselves up that they're not feeling the way
that they're supposed to be feeling. Yeah.
They're supposed to be feeling. And it's like, of course you're not. You have kids and you're tired and you have a job. So first have some empathy for yourself and some compassion for yourself. Start there. And then, yes, I think those two things make perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to start the machine. We got to warm up the machine or else it ain't going to work.
Here's another quick question, then we will wrap it up. This is from Tara. And she says, I'm 46 years old. This December will be the first anniversary of my divorce from 20 years. Past years have been hard. I am taking steps to regain my confidence. There's still room to grow there. My ex almost immediately has a new girlfriend move in with him. So at the same time of the divorce, they will be celebrating a year of living together. Ugh. Here's my question. Is it okay if I don't date again? I'd love to have someone tell me I look sexy, take me out to dinner every once in a while. I don't have the urge to be with someone ever again. Any tips on being single and happy and alone when all of society is pressuring me to date again?
Mm.
Ashley in New Orleans.
I have a podcast I want her to listen to, which is called The Simple Sophisticate. What is it? Hold on. I'll find it. But Living the Simply Luxurious Life is the book. But I think it's called The Simple Sophisticate. But she's a woman who is living the best life. And she's single. And she doesn't seem to have any plans to be anything other than that. And I got to tell you what.
To me.
She enjoys a Dover sole and a glass of Chardonnay at night. She goes to bed every night at 8:30. She's our age. 8:30 at night. She's got two King Charles Cavalier Spaniels. And is paddleboarding in Bend, Oregon, and living her best life. And she constantly talks about how don't let society tell you what you need to be doing.
Yeah. It just feels like throughout that whole question is just, is this okay?
Yes.
Yes. 100%. And as we were talking about earlier, like in this moment, that's perfection. Give yourself to it entirely. You might change your mind in, you know, 2 years, you might not, but give yourself to it. Let it be an experiment.
I do like spending time alone.
Oh,
I love it. 100%.
This is my new thing. I used to hate it. And I loved being in Manhattan because I was never alone. And now it's my favorite thing to stroll down a street and just
to drive. Driving alone.
Be quiet. I used to run in the Heath in London and just
lovely
be alone.
It's very nice.
Yeah, so
and it's preparing us for, you know, the great alone time.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry guys, what should
Scorpio,
we
Scorpio.
Next time you looked at me. The other thing I wanted to say is like when I you know, I only have one child. I have one beautiful child.
Thank you.
And everybody asks you, are you going to have another one? Because it's like somehow you have to have two, and I spent a lot of time feeling terrible about it. Now I didn't have a choice, but also Heidi, I go to Heidi when I am like just been diagnosed with cancer. And I was like, but how will I have the other one? And she was like, I don't see it. Like, if you're telling me you have to have one, I'll figure it out, but I don't see it. And the truth was, I didn't need another one. I had the one I needed. Mm. And it took me until this spring. I was in London and I decided to go to Mallorca at the last minute, as I am wont to do now. And I didn't tell the hotel that I had a child with me. And so when I showed up, they're like, there's not room for a child. And I'm like, oops. And they're like, so we have to put you in this presidential suite. And I said, "That well, okay.
That'll do."
And we had the most wonderful time. And I had this feeling as I was going off the plane, I felt that fear that I needed to have something I didn't have lift off me like a bird and fly away. Mm. And I haven't felt that feeling since. And I kind of attribute it to my dead childhood best friend helping me with that. But I think I want this woman to have that feeling that she can release it and she can enjoy the shit out of her new life.
And I think that's so beautifully put, Jessica. Like sometimes more is not more.
No.
It's just not.
Can I also say I would like her to schedule a session with Heidi? I mean it.
Oh, Ashley. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
So that would be great.
Can we tell people how to get to Heidi? Yes, Heidi, how do people get up to you?
Any plugs?
Yeah, just HeidiRose.com, HeidiRose.com. And for those of you that are like interested but not ready to jump into a full reading, I do little snapshots that where I send you an audio that's, you know, 10 to 12 minutes long, and you get a taste of how I work with your chart. And then you can
right. And you can Skype. You do a lot of
I do a lot of Zoom. Yeah.
Zoom. Okay. Yep. You Zoom.
Yeah.
And you also your Instagram is what?
Heidi Rose Robbins. And that I every day there is a moon note. So every day you can sort of be aware of the astrological energies of the day. And that comes that's there every morning.
They are so beautiful. I mean, if you I start every day doing
writing.
It.
Yeah.
Just dive into that.
And that Instagram handle is
Heidi Rose Robbins.
Okay. Please yeah. follow her on Instagram
and
for
your
that
podcast.
Daily
dose.
And the podcast is The Radiance Project on iTunes. And it's a combination of astrology and poetry and great guests like these women. Got to get you back.
I was in a strange place when I recorded my episode.
I know I was. I was in my Dog the Bounty Hunter stage.
I would love to have you both back.
I was straight up dog. I was tying seashells in my hair and scrambling to make those monthly payments. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us. You are truly one of the most influential women in our lives. And we thank you for carrying all of us in your heart and helping guide us.
Thank you. I love you both. And I'm so grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support the show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.